In this new series of conversations, I'm going to be chatting with people about their work, which is why I've called it Me and My Job. Now, some of those people are working locally, others live in the district but work elsewhere. But the key is the job they have and the work they do. And I hope it will be interesting and informative, and perhaps also may help some younger listeners to gain useful information about the options they face in their futures. And this week I'm chatting with Helen Burridge, who is manager of St Albans BID. Now, Helen, you're going to have to start by explaining a little bit about what that is.
A business improvement district is a group of businesses that vote to create a BID, and they put a percentage of their business rates again into a pot that it's the BID's job to spend for the betterment of those businesses.
So they're taking money out of the rates that they would pay, or a percentage on top?
On top. So that's how you work out what level each business contributes.
Because business rates are related to the...
the size and the location of the property and the value of that building and how big the building is and that kind of thing.
There are BIDs all over the country now,
yes.
These organisations. But locally, was it specifically retailers saying, we have an issue, we have a problem?
I'll be honest, this predated me. BIDs as a international concept were invented in Canada in the 70s, came over to the UK in the early noughties, and the piece of legislation that central government passed facilitated them to be set up. Different city centre partnerships, sometimes chambers of commerce, those kinds of groups of businesses locally would then come together and decide if that was suitable for the city centre. That group, in cahoots with the council, would then put together a business plan which would look at the proposal for what those improvements and what the money would be spent on. And then businesses in a defined geographical area then vote if they would like that cost to be added to their business with those benefits to be delivered.
So it's businesses looking for a return on their investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are investing in this project, and it covers a specific district area.
Yeah, there's a map on the BID website, which is a specific strategic wiggly line. In St Albans, it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty much what you think of as the city centre. So it's from St Peter's Church down halfway down Hollywell Hill. And it takes in the Maltings and then goes around the back of Christopher Place, not as far as Victoria Playing Fields on Verulam Road. It's pretty much the central business district.
And if you're outside that, you can't be in the BID?
At the moment, no. That we are looking at voluntary memberships that you could choose and opt in to pay to be a member of the BIDs so as to make use of the benefits that we're offering. We have a very spiffing little acronym, ALBAN. A-L-B-A-N is how we remember the different work streams that we do. So we've got awareness, leisure, business, appearance and network. And so that keeps an eye on what it is we're spending our money on. Ultimately, it's quite a straightforward thing of looking at the consumers and what will help them and help the public to choose to spend their money in the city centre of St Albans. So whether that's on retail, hospitality, leisure, food and drink, or whether it's to do with procuring their legal advice there or choosing to buy a home through an estate agent in the city centre or all those other different businesses. However, of course, there are a lot of professional services in St Albans whose work isn't actually in the city centre. So it's more that they have their staff there. Therefore, they pay into the BID because it's compulsory once it was voted in. And so what we then do for those businesses is look to support their staff. One of the biggest challenges for professional services in St Albans is staff retention. London, obviously being so close to St Albans, is incredibly attractive. If we can help those businesses to help retain their staff, help them with parking challenges, help them with making St Albans look like and be a desirable place to live, work and do business, then they can get on with the business that they want to do and not worry about things like HR or waste management or street signage or other things that are irritants around the peripheral of what it is they're trying to do for their day job.
Do you then become a lobbyist for the business community?
With lobbying, there are an awful lot of different tiers of government and tiers of impact that work in somewhere like St Albans. There are two major trade bodies for BIDs. One of them is the Association for Town and City Management, the ATCM. They are the main lobbying body. And so we lobby government through that membership body. I'm the vice chair of the Southeastern Board for the ATCM. And we look at things like permitted development rights, at things like business rate reform, pub business rate reform, those kinds of projects that will have far-reaching impact across the country.
Mm-hmm. So obviously you had a career in business before this. You sound as if you know all about the business.
I think this job has very much been an interesting one. Obviously, the title of this show is Me and My Job, and I like making people have a good time in spite of themselves. And that's been the trajectory of my career for most of my life. I actually started off in costume design. I am still pretty crafty and creative and did history and English at A-level and at university. I did English and textiles joint honours. And Leeds has got an incredible background in textiles. And so I did joint honours English and textiles. And my dissertation was on Shakespeare and costume and the use of language and costume and how they created those costumes in real life. I left university and went into costume design and worked at the Globe Theatre as a wardrobe assistant and then the National Theatre and the Barbican Centre and did a load of interesting stuff for the BBC as well for about 3 years. And then I got a little... the freelance life doesn't work with my brain. I need something slightly more structured than that. So I did a master's in arts education and went further backstage. So I worked at the Design Museum and then the Barbican Centre doing arts education and gallery work. At the Barbican Centre, I looked after the art gallery event schedule. There were two art galleries, and it was my job to think of ways to encourage the public to engage with those exhibitions in different ways. And ultimately, that is a different version of what I'm doing now. And so the gallery at that time, so this would have been 2006, 2007, there was a massive frustration and friction between marketing and education. And ultimately, it was the intellect of the curators versus selling out and just getting bums on seats. And there's a real friction between, do you go to the lowest common denominator and put on a pub in the art gallery because loads of people will come along, but actually, are they engaging with the art that's on offer? Or do you have a high level intellectual panel discussion where you'll have four men and a dog, but some really gritty, nuanced debate will happen to the very small, intelligent audience that you would get on that kind of event? And that friction still exists now, but I think people are probably with the economic downturn and the way that people are consuming art and culture in a slightly different way now, 15 years later, I think that that's changed slightly. But I do think that there is a ladder of engagement that you can apply to culture that you can also apply to a city centre, such that if you're in London, you have no intention of visiting an art gallery, no intention of engaging with culture at all, but you need a wee, you're likely to find a free toilet available in a gallery. Is there something that that gallery can do to hook you? Go in, you nab the loo, you go and buy a card from the gift shop, something like that. You can then hook them to come back and take the next step up the ladder. And can they just come back for the next blockbuster exhibition? You know, it's not going to be highly intellectual. It's not going to be, you know, war photography, 1930 to 1950. It's going to be fashion. And I'm now just dissing myself because obviously I do see fashion as a legitimate thing, but fashion, many fashion exhibitions get high footfall with limited engagement, potentially. Slightly feisty statement, but hey, can you then get that person to come to a late night opening? Can you then get that person to come into a gallery discussion? Can you then get them to engage and engage, engage and potentially become a member of that gallery? There's that hierarchy then and building up their engagement and their association and the way that they identify with that building and with that space and how that can then impact and improve their life. It wasn't a great leap then to apply that to a city centre. I was doing that job at the Barbican Centre and had my kids. So I had to stop that, unfortunately, what with childbearing, coexisting with a job that does evenings and weekend work didn't work so well. So I had to stop that. And so I was a stay-at-home mum for 5 years with a sneaky small business on the side where I taught people how to knit and crochet and craft. In fact, in this very building we're sat in now at the Courtyard Cafe, I did a load of classes down there. And then I was on the council website looking for details for the Christmas lights opening in the November. And because I'd been keeping an eye on the council website, the jobs page came up instead of the Christmas lights stuff. And I saw a job for a community engagement officer to deliver their events. And I texted my husband, went, you're never going to guess. I'm going to have to apply for this darn job. And I got offered that job on Christmas Eve that year. And so then I was working at the council from that February. So my children were 5 and 1. And started delivering the events programme for the St. Albans District Council. So that was the Food and Drink Festival, the Auburn Street Festival, the Christmas Light Switch On, and then the Mayor's Pride Awards, a couple of others as well. So that was very different because working in a city centre rather than an art gallery, the major issue is the lack of a ceiling. There's no building, there's no infrastructure. You have to start from scratch and then you work out what it is you want to bring in. And also the lovely thing with the events programme in St. Albans is that it is entirely blank, which is also absolutely terrifying because at least with the Barbican, you've got an exhibition that's there. You've got something that you're bouncing off. And also, of course, budgets were different. Not least of all, there was a running joke, really, that the council budgets were X amount of money and it cost half of that money to put the infrastructure in, the security, the first aid, the provisions, all that kind of thing. Half that amount of money to close the road and half of that money to market the event. unfortunately, that's three times the amount of money that you've got. So then I had to look at sponsorship and all that kind of thing as well. So creating an event that encourages people to feel something about their city and to engage with the space around them. There's a real sense of community. It's terrifying because there is a social media feedback loop that is incredibly quicker than anything that I experienced. I mean, obviously that wasn't there 5 years previously at the Barbican in the same way. But also there's a feeling in St. Albans that there's such a strong sense of community that if you put something on in the city centre, everybody feels that it has to speak to them, which can be a blessing and a curse, because it can be quite a challenge to put on something risky if people feel that it doesn't speak to them. Because if it's their hometown and it's the council paying for that event, then it can potentially be quite challenging.
So within the bid operation, have you now taken over those events?
No, so those events still exist. So the council has a baseline of work that they provide. And so the really important thing with bids is that they don't replace public sector funding. So the council has to continue investing the same amount of money, or at least maintain that kind of provision. They can't just suddenly whip it away and say, well, the bid could do it or not. There is a really interesting graph that a national study produced about how to positively impact a city centre. And there's cost up one side and impact on the horizontal axis. So in one area, the low cost, high impact, that is the easy bit for bids to do, if you like. That is the land of events, marketing and websites. So if you tell more people about what you're doing in your city centre, if you put on loads of events in your city centre, then people will come to them. And if you have a good online presence, then people will repeat those visits. And so if you see a city that is doing well, there will be a lot of events about it. They will have a comprehensive and joined up marketing campaign. And that is seen then to be an exciting and vibrant and diverse city. So you look at the likes of York and Canterbury and Cambridge and Oxford and all those kind of things. They have those elements in place. And a lot of that is to do with the councils or the communities that worked in there already. And a lot of that's to do with the bids that exist there too. In St. Albans, we're actually very blessed because the events programme is incredibly positive already. Hemel Hempstead is just getting a bid in place in the last year. In the run-up to the bid being put in place, they've had a couple of events put in place, but they don't have the Food and Drink Festival with 15,000 people. They don't have the Auburn Street Festival with 10,000 people at the pilgrimage and 15,000 people on the Sunday. They just don't.
And so they don't have two museums, one of them a gallery as well.
Well,
and
exactly.
A cathedral with a new visitor centre opening.
I did a presentation in London about the improvements that St. Albans have in the terms of the street scene. And I was talking to a group of town centre managers doing my job in the north of England, and they all looked slightly shell-shocked by the end of the session. And the chair went, well, of course, that is the Rolls Royce, but don't worry, all of you do have cars and you all have steering wheels and you all have four wheels. So St. Albans is incredibly easy to market, for sure. The point I was making about Hemel was rather, yes, it hasn't got a lot of the infrastructural stuff that we have, but also because of the lack of events, their bid can hit the ground running and do a whole load of events and make quite a high impact relatively cheaply by putting on those kinds of things. Actually, in St. Albans, it's a little bit of a challenge for the bid because the council have got such a good key series of events. And we've also got the Sustainability Festival, the Film Festival, those other key events that happen through the year. That means that actually it's not that the landscape is clogged, but certainly you have to be quite strategic. And I'm always very clear. I'm not sure about the sensibilities of your listeners, so I apologise in advance for what I'm about to say. But my father always sent me into exam saying RTFQ, which stands for read the question. And so I'm always really careful when I'm looking to put an event in, not to just stick a juggler on the high street and call it Christmas. That to me doesn't speak to St. Albans. It doesn't particularly evoke any kind of warm connection from the member of the public or for the person looking at that piece to then say, oh, I understand why that's here, because it's that story that we're trying to, you know. We did Nutcrackers the first Christmas that I started at the bid, partly because I love Nutcrackers and I've always have done, but also because I'd heard this really random story. I've not found it anywhere else. The internet won't support me. And if I can't find the internet to agree with me, it might not be true. But I did read somewhere that the Grand Old Duke of York poem was based on Holywell Hill, and it was all to do with the War of the Roses. In my mind, the Nutcrackers made a little bit of a connection, and they really connected with people that year. And they had all different characters that we got people to nominate the names of the soldiers. And so you had to go around and try and find all the different names. And it felt like slightly more authenticity. And I think that authenticity comes back throughout my job, is what is it that we're trying to do to understand more about the city and to give you a connection and a deeper understanding so that you can then speak to a place. We can say that the high street is dying until we're blue in the face, but humans are sociable beings and people will always gravitate to where other people are. That's why cities exist. The commerce and the trade is a necessary output. You've got something, I've got something. Oh, well, let's meet in the middle and we'll swap. But actually, people always want to talk to each other. I just went to do a different interview at Radio Verulam just now, and I walked in and all four people, there were two other people about to be interviewed for something else. I knew both hosts and the restaurateur and I, and all four of us were chatting. We're like, we've all got to be going on doing radio recordings right now, but we all know each other and therefore we want to talk to each other and we want to spend time with each other. And I think if we can work out how a city space operates when people are choosing to spend their time differently, and if we can harness the city that we are responsible for to make sure that it is fit to be that new kind of future without a retail anchor like it has been in the past, then I think this is a really exciting job to do. And I think that St. Albans has a lot to offer because of the different facets of its identity that are not just retail.
When I first moved to St. Albans a long time ago, it was said then that St. Albans was one of the first places outside London that incoming tourists visited because it was the closest of the cathedral cities. Now, I'm going back several decades here. They would be looking at probably Oxford, probably Cambridge, possibly Canterbury, ones that you mentioned earlier, but also St. Albans because of its accessibility. It was like 15, 20 minutes out of London. Is part of the bid's job to increase the tourist footfall?
Absolutely. And I think if that statement was true then, I'm not sure that it's currently true now. I think faster trains and also increased investment in tourism in other areas has left St. Albans behind. I think that's probably the best way of putting it. And so there's York for sure. And so actually, in terms of a cathedral visit, you're talking about York, Winchester and Canterbury. And I think that we have been left behind partly on the offer and also on the shouting about that offer. So the challenge that we've got is we're actually, I've used this line a lot, but we're less of a city. We're more of a town with an ego. We're a city because we've got a cathedral. But in terms of our footprint, we're not massive. And we're actually locked by the green belt around us. And we are limited severely by the roadmap that we have within the city centre. And so in terms of infrastructure, we're massively lacking in beds. And so actually, the line that I would like the bid to look at using, and I think we're probably going to be looking to use that in the near future, and I'll come back to how in a minute, is the best day trip from London. Because actually there is an enormous audience coming mostly from North America, but also from China and the money in the Pacific West and the whole come over to the UK for a week and spend it in London. Those groups often then look to do one day trip out of London. If you Google the best day trip from London, no one is specifically claiming it. The other place we haven't mentioned is Windsor. Windsor does a very good line in the day trips, but it's not claiming it. And I think it's as much to do with the tagline as anything else. If you put it on a piece of paper, we've got Tudor buildings, we've got Roman remains, we've got a cathedral, we've got the market, and we've got independent shopping, and we're 20 minutes from the centre, and we've got the museum and gallery, and we've got Britain's oldest pub, and we've got food and drink, and we've got 2,000 years of visible history, yada, yada, yada. And it's very easy to package it. There were a number of choices that were made about where tourism investment happened across the country. And for reasons outside of our gift, those decisions weren't taken in St. Albans. And so I think there is a lot of work to be done to bring St. Albans up on a par with other cities. And so one of the first steps in that is the Enjoy St. Albans website. So it is working with the St. Albans Visitor Partnership and with the St. Albans District Council to rebrand the website. We've also been working very closely on the visitor guide, which is delivered by St. Albans Council, but the bid is invested and bought back 5 pages of advertising so that we can actually create more of a magazine style with overview sections of why didn't you try this? Have you thought about this? Rather than it being simply listings. But as with all these things, they've always been hindered by money because things cost money. And so actually the way that consumers curate their travel content now has changed enormously. The way that people make decisions about travel has changed enormously. And some of the challenges around St. Albans being that it's a bit too close to London to feel like a weekend away. And you've got all these little different reasons as to why it's a bit of a tricky sell sometimes. Actually, there are very straightforward and clear ways that we could take its qualities and create hooks for 21st century consumers to engage with that brand. And if we can do that comprehensively, then I think there's great potential for growth there. And I think people like the pub in the parks that's happening in this summer, I think, is helping to entrench St. Albans as a quality food and drink destination. The museum and gallery opening, the cathedral visitor centre opening this spring as well. I think it's a really exciting time for St Albans. And I think it's those kinds of installations and that kind of change in the leisure consumption that happens, that is happening around the country. If we can hook that in properly in St Albans and create the right atmosphere in the city, then I think we've got a really good opportunity to change the way that people use the city centre for the good.
I had a lot more questions, Helen, but we ran out of time.
I'm so sorry.
But no, don't apologise, because that's the enthusiasm we need. I see why you got the job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.